Shalom, residents of Yahweh's community around the world, in Israel and New York, Chicago, and here on the worst coast. We want to thank you very much for tuning in today on this podcast of YahvehYahweh.name. I am Stefan Yah, going to Hosea and then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But first of all, let's look at some scriptures in the book of Hosea. The feasts are at hand. Actually, we are speaking here during one of Yahweh's feasts and his blessings. So at chapter 8 it is. We've been featuring this on the main webpage. The Apostle Paul, or Shaul, tells us to warn one another, to caution one another. So a discernment ministry is necessary. And in Hosea, he says, "Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of Yahweh, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my Torah. Israel shall cry unto me, my Yahweh, we know thee. Israel has cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and gold, they have made their idols, that they may be cut off." Reading from the King James there in Hosea, as the Almighty Father is speaking. And the most important thing is the gospel of the good news of our salvation in the covenant, the new covenant that he has given us. Jeremiah 31, or Hebrews in the New Testament, say that he will write his covenant, Yahweh's covenant, in our hearts and minds, and in our sins and iniquities he will remember no more, when he gives us salvation through his Son, the true Messiah, whom we call Yahusha. And as we're reading these versions, the King James Version and the Tree of Life Version, which is almost obscure now after only a few years, that we are changing a few names. In the Tree of Life, we change the word Adonai back to its proper rendition of Yahweh, usually. Usually it's Yahweh there. And in the King James, where it says Lord, we will change that. In most of the places, it's supposed to be YHVH or Yahweh. For we know his name, and we praise him using his name. We lift him up. We're going to be talking about Yahweh's name today, and about the covenant of Yahweh, right here in this chapter. As Israel, that is the northern 10 tribes, and that is most of the peoples of the world, are in some way connected with Israel, with the northern 10 tribes, if not of Judah, of Yehuda. And Yahweh is bringing his people together as one stick. And the rebellious house of Ephraim represents us, the 10 tribes. Look here and listen. Listen, love, and listen to it, love it, and read it. In Hosea 8:11, because Ephraim has made many altars to sin, or in other words, it was into synchronism, altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written to him the great things of my Torah, but they were counted as a strange thing. Yes, we listened to the program earlier today on a North Carolina station, Fundamental Broadcasting, and they played Unshackled with a testimony about a man back in the 1950s who was converted from Judaism to Christianity. And it seemed like he moved from the staunch ritual religious thing of the Jews, the restrictions of man-made laws and Talmud and all that. He moved from that to Christianity with no laws. Then he was free to eat pork, free to keep the pagan feast days, and to abandon Yahweh's days that he commanded specifically. If we look in the book of Hosea, I believe it is the first chapter, as I turn here, No, it's the Hosea chapter 2, verse 11. Yahweh says, I will cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts to cease. Then, if you go to Nahum 1:15, or continue in Hosea to chapter 12, it says, you will keep my laws. Chapter 12, verse 9, Ephraim feedeth on wind, it starts out. And then in verse 9, and I that I am Yahweh, thy Elohim from the land of Mitzrayim, will yet make thee to dwell in Sukkoth, as in the days of the solemn feast, to dwell even at the Feast of Tabernacles. We read in Isaiah chapter 1 that Yahweh is tired, he's sick and tired of hearing man-made feast days. And in Isaiah 66, he says, from one new moon to another, and from a Sabbath day to another, shall all flesh come to worship me. In Zechariah 14, he says that all flesh will come up to worship him during the millennium, in that prophetic chapter of Zechariah 14. So back in Hosea, though, before we move on, in the next chapter, they're going to eat unclean things in Assyria. Then in verse 5, that's 9, verse 5. And what will you do in the solemn day, in the day of the feast of Yahweh? For lo, they are gone because of destruction. Mitzrayim, or Egypt, shall gather them up. Memphis, or Moph, M-O-P-H, shall bury them. The pleasant places for their silver, nettles shall possess them, thorns shall be in their tabernacles. The days of visitation are come, the days of recompense are come, Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool, the spiritual man is mad, for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. And in the Tree of Life version, it says the man, wait a minute here, I see you. Man of the Spirit, anyway, is how that is interpreted there, probably more clearly. Verse 15, all their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. So much over the doctrine of universal salvation that we hear so much these days, that all you do is raise your right hand without being embarrassed, with no one looking around, and accepting Jesus. Hosea chapter 10, Israel, so that's referring to all of you, Israel, yeah, all of us, an empty vine. Israel is that's not a good thing, that's a derogatory warning here. We are an empty vine, he brings forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he has increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars, and he shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king, because we feared not Yahweh. What then should a king do to us? Or maybe, spoken in fear, what will a king do to us next? And we wondered about that too, when one of the previous U.S. presidents and Hillary were in charge of the country of the United States. What would they do with these internment camps and things? That fear was coming upon Christianity for a short time. So Ephraim, or the northern tribes, or most of the world's general population that comes from the loins of Abraham, feeds on wind and follows after the east wind. In other words, after the eastern religions and mysticism, psychology, witchcraft and sorcery, all these things, even pharmakia. Yes, even in our food we have some drugs that have been secretly tainted in there. And we thank all the evangelists that Yahweh has raised up, even for our brother Hezekiah, who blew the trumpet in Zion this morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you might be. We thank for Brother Bill Houston, one of our speakers here on Yahweh Yahweh. And he's on the program called Higher Ground, the late Brother Bill. Regarding the future times, Hosea chapter 13, 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I'll be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hidden from my eyes. But before that, a lot of destruction. Even the infant, it says, shall be tortured. And the women shall be ripped up. Oh, such. Why do we bring these things upon us? And then, as I referred to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there's a lot of admonition here, or exhortation. You know, there's a lot of cautions and warnings in the Scripture. This one would be more what would be considered by the evangelicals of a positive nature. It says in the Tree of Life version, walking in sanctification, or being set apart. 1 Thessalonians 4, finally then, brethren and sisters, we ask you an appeal in the Yahweh Yahusha, or they put Yeshua, which is from the original Hebrew, just as you received from us the way you ought to walk and please Yahweh, as in fact you are walking, that you keep progressing more and more, or keep growing would be a better term. Sometimes they use these, some of the words weren't selected that were updated or effective, but you keep growing more and more in Messiah. And for you know what instructions I gave you through the Master Yehoshua, Messiah. This is the will of Yahweh, your being set apart. Back in Leviticus 19:2, he told us to love yourself, love your neighbor as yourself. To know, each of you, how to gain control over his own body, to abstain from sexual immorality of all kinds. To know, each of you, how to gain control over your own self in being set apart in honor, not in the passion of lust like the pagans who do not know Yahweh, and not to, you using that loud rock music in the church there, that's not to be, and not to overstep his brother and take advantage of him in this matter, or, in other words, not to deal treacherously with our brother, as it defined there in Leviticus, in the initial foundation, the laying down of these principles. Why? Because Yahweh is the avenger in all these things, as we told you before and solemnly warned you, for Yahweh did not call us to impurity, but in, it says the holiness there, we'll change that to being separated, being pure. He called us to being pure, to strive to be perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Consequently, the one who rejects this is not rejecting man, but Yahweh, who gives his Ruach HaKadosh to you. Now that's the pure spirit. Concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anybody to write you. So they go on, but he says it anyway. And then the shofar call in verse 13. Now we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep, so that you may not grieve like the rest who have no hope. If we believe that Yahusha, Messiah, died and rose again, so with him Yahweh will also bring with those who have fallen asleep in Yahusha, or Yeshua. For this we tell you by the word of Yahweh, that we who are alive and remain under the coming of Yahweh shall in no way precede those who are asleep. For Yahweh himself shall come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the arch messenger, and with the blast of Yahweh's shofar, and the dead in Messiah first shall rise. So first the dead are going to rise. We don't just die and go straight to heaven or straight to hell. Then we who are alive, who are left behind, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet Yahweh in the air, and so we shall always be with Yahweh. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And then he says in chapter 5, 16, rejoice always, pray constantly, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of Yahweh in Messiah concerning you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophetic messages, at least true ones, but test all things. We test it by the word. Hold fast to what is good and keep away from every evil of every kind. And may Yahweh himself make you completely pure, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept complete. And that's just different synonyms for our spirit. except for soul and body could be go together, those two words, or soul and spirit. We don't have to be a Trinitarian, or, well, if we do, if some say, then we're saved if we use the word Trinity. Be kept complete, blameless at the coming of Yahweh, the Messiah. Faithful is the one who calls you, and will he is the one, the Yahweh of Shalom, who will make it happen. And now I'm going to have to find the exact spot in here a little bit later about Paul telling us to warn others of unruly brethren and so on. You know, the latest movement is do not stir up the coals, do not tell about to avoid this place or that place of worship because of the severe compromise, of the false teaching going on. But people these days have the opinion that we should not express those words at all because it wouldn't be polite. More than that, how we are going to serve Yahweh, how we are going to love Yahweh before we are taken out at the last trumpet. Let's look at, start out with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. So they're speaking of the anti-Messiah. After the working of Satan, with a power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness, unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause Yahweh shall send them strong delusion, and they should believe a lie. Now some are ignorant just because of not doing a real in-depth study, that they haven't put their nose to the grindstone, so to speak. They're somewhat lax in study, perhaps, or maybe they were just too busy and couldn't get to it, or some other alibi, a legitimate alibi, that they... So we don't want to go around condemning people just because they don't know all the scriptures, and they don't know all these imperatives in scripture. No, perhaps they hadn't heard it yet, and then it would take a time for them to study it, and then to accept it, to see if what we are quoting here is correct. Yes, we need to go to the Word, open the Scriptures, and quote from the Scripture. Not just stand in the street, out in the parking lot with our hands in our pocket, spouting off to one another, rattling off Scripture verses out of thin air, but actually getting right down to the Word, to live it, write it, read it, listen to it, and love it. That they all might be damned if they believe the strong delusion, though, that's being circulated around in the sun-worshipping churches. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to Yahweh for you, brethren, beloved of Yahweh, because Yahweh has, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation, being set apart of the Ruach HaKadosh and belief of the truth, wherein you were called by our evangel to the obtaining of esteem or majesty by our Master Yahusha. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now, the word of Yahweh is strong and powerful, is a two-edged sword, dividing asunder even the spirit and the marrow, and we are to use that as our standard. Not some sort of other traditions that were passed down by our relatives. But we go to chapter 3 in this, and perhaps we'll come to the head, to the gist of what I'm trying to present today, to be wary of those who secretly come in to entice us, who are incrementally tapering us right into some, so smoothly into some truth. You know, somebody told me as I was quoting Scripture, though, on the other hand, that I was quoting the Word in context, and they said, oh, but you have such a clever way of saying that. It's just the way that you say that, you know. In other words, they were denying the very Word, the Scripture itself. They were blaming me that I was just picking Scriptures out of thin air, and I wasn't. I'm just reading it like I am now. So that's not a good alibi at all, to accuse somebody of, oh, you just have such a smooth way of putting it. Well, what else could I do? I just got to open up the book and read it, And then they could read it for themselves. And then Yahweh will make the judgment, and they can judge themselves whether they think they can fit in to Yahweh's kingdom. Or do they establish, is it for them to establish the terms of the covenant and for him, Yahweh, to agree to that? We're going to make a deal with Yahweh. I said, yeah, no, this is what I heard. This gentleman even said that God was his, the one who blessed him to go down there to the pool table, and the Holy Spirit was the one who guided the ball into the pocket. Yeah, but this is a believer who said some pretty sane things, on the other hand, some well-balanced things from Scripture, as he talked about perhaps the last days. But he thinks the Spirit delivers that ball, that foosball, into the hole. Brethren, pray for us that the word of Yahweh may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, that you may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not the faith. But Yahweh is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So here he is warning us. You know, Paul the apostle, who also said, I have determined to know nothing other than Messiah. But then he goes on to have written thousands of words, thousands of injunctions and imperatives. Okay, so the next verse is 2 Thessalonians 3:3. Yahweh is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Now we have confidence in Yahweh touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And Yahweh, direct your hearts into the love of Yahweh and into the patient waiting for Messiah. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of Yahushua Messiah. Not just in any name, not what it says here in the King James, but in the Master Yahushua Messiah. Not in a pagan goddess of healing, but what the Word says. And Messiah, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. You yourselves know how you ought to follow us. And so there it is, the injunction to withdraw yourself from some people out there. Some of them walk disorderly. In other words, they don't walk according to the kingdom covenant life of Yahweh, which we have described for us in all scriptures. You know, Isaiah 8:19 and 20, that to the law and to the testimony, if we speak not according to that word of Yahweh's Torah, then we have no light in us. If you speak not according to that word, there is no light in you. And then back to Thessalonians, so switching back, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. We hear that there are some among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them which are such command and exhort. So there's one of the usages of exhorting or warning, cautioning, encouraging, that we such exhort and command by our Messiah, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread, but you, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him. In other words, no religious company. If he works in the store, running the till there, the cash register, then we would have to have some company of some kind, but that's not fellowship. That's just having mercantile going through the business. But have no company other than that, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as a brother, but admonish him as a brother. So there we are to exhort and admonish and to warn. Studying the Old Testament first to have the basic understanding. I don't mean the genealogies in Genesis. That might get you, later some deeper understanding of something. But the basic truths that are spoken of starting out in Exodus chapter 20. 21, 22, and 23, and then in Leviticus, which is improperly titled there, and what should it be? It should be Vayikra, and then Numbers and Deuteronomy. and if I forgot any other book. So the verse here says, verse 12, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. That was in verse 12. And with all they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not to, doing that gossip. And I will therefore that the younger women marry and bear children, guide the house, give not occasion the adversary to speak reproach. Some are already turned aside after ha-Satan. And, we have to go now into the next chapter here. Into chapter 6. And another warning, another powerful imperative Paul gives us is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, which is based on the Torah, but he extrapolates or draws that out even further. He's magnifying Yahweh's law. And maybe you can find some of your own brethren violating some of these principles here. As servants, as are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of Yahweh and his doctrine be not blasphemed. As we are reading there in Hosea, I skipped a part, I think it was in chapter 2, about the name of Yahweh. It's very, very imperative. And that they have believing masters. Then let's go to verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of the master Yahusha, and to the doctrine which is according to Yahweh likeness, then that person, if he is not doing that, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives of words, whereof comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt mind, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is Yahweh likeness. From such withdraw thyself. See also 2 Timothy. But Yahweh likeness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can't carry anything out. And having food and raiment, let us be therefore content. The word content mentioned about a dozen times in Paul's letters. Having food and raiment, let us be content. You know, we need to take care of one another and use that second tithe and third tithe to bless the Levite and the stranger and the widow and the orphan, as James reiterates in the book of James. But they that will be rich fall into temptations and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in the destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, there's this axiom you hear about that money is the root of all evil. No, it's the love of it. Money in itself, intrinsically, is not evil. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of Yahweh, flee these things. So there's another command you can add to that list of 1,000 New Testament commands. Flee these things and follow another command. After righteousness, Yahweh-likeness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Matthew 7:16. So we'll just read the word, and Yahweh said it, and I believe it, and that's the way it should be. 7:16, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringing forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringing forth evil fruit. Now, we're not supposed to be fruit pickers and going around looking for everybody's, all their faults. You know, he's not saying this. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. You'll find that in greater depth in John chapter 15. In the entire chapter of John 15. And that's not just talking about being pruned. It's talking about pruning the whole tree of Israel of branches that are just worthy to be cast into the fire. And you don't be the judge of that. I'm not the judge. But Messiah is that judge. He is that judge who is to judge about our eternal destiny. So we don't do that. We can judge one another's actions about their fruit is not good, or their fruit is very good, and they're keeping Yahweh's command. It's pretty much in concert with Yahweh's word. So verse 19, every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Are you going to do that? No. No. Yahweh's messengers are going to do that part. Whereof by their fruits you shall know them. Now about judging, you could read that in John 7:24. He says to judge righteous judgment. In other words, know what the scripture says about a particular behavior before you go casting stones at this person. Know that it is wrong, and that you're probably keeping as close as you can to that word. You're obeying as close as you can, but that this other person apparently has no concern at all for the word of Yahweh. Maybe that's not his basis for his worldview. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. So it pretty well ends there on that thought of to avoid those, like Paul says, who are troubling you and causing separation and divisions in the assembly with false doctrines, saying that the Sabbath was done away with, saying that the first day of the week is to be kept, that supposedly was the day Messiah rose, when it was not. Messiah rose on Aviv 17. He died on the 14th, and three nights and days later he rose on the 17th. People who say that Jesus is the Messiah's name, and it always has been that way for 2,000 years. No, there was no J in the Hebrew or Greek alphabets. It's only been around since the middle of the 16th century, approximately. Some people had it 1,000 years before that, but they were a minority. But it came into extent, the use of J as Jehovah. I don't avoid using that word, but the Iesus, the source, the derivative of some of these words we use for our Savior, are wrong. They are totally wrong, and it's been proven, and there's plenty of evidence to support all of that. Lots and lots of evidence that can be found in the library, in your religious books, even in Catholic books, in their libraries, Jewish libraries. It can even be found, don't say that terrible word, on the internet. But it is all right to put an article in a book or on the internet if it's correct, you know, as long as it agrees with the word. So I'm not condemning everything that's on the internet. It doesn't mean that if it's on the internet, then it's false. No, I don't believe that. Do you? Of course not. No, that's really crazy. That's facetious. Or something, some other word, anyway. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Yahweh, Yahweh, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name it cast out devils. So you know that scripture. He said later on that whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended. The floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock, or, you know, on the rock that represents the Messiah. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, the Messiah said, and doeth them, he shall be likened unto a... Now, wait a minute, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, oh, there we go, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Yeah, if we do not do Yahweh's words, if what we say is not in concert with Yahweh or Yahusha, he is the one who took away all of our iniquities, our sicknesses, our infirmities, and he bare our sickness. I see here in Matthew chapter 10 now, and there's also a passage about hell if you want to look that up, but we're going into about the healing again. Now, As he passed through, he said, go through to the house of Israel, and that would entail most of the world today, saying, the kingdom of Yahweh is near. Heal the sick, or is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received and freely give. You know, help the cause by freeing people from bondage. Don't just tell them half-truths or something that'll make them feel good. Let's get right down, and it might be offensive to read the word. Sometimes we might come out unnecessarily offensive. We've got to be careful. Verse 11, into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who it is worthy, and there abide until you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it, and if the house be worthy, or if they will accept our message and accept us, and I've been accepted into most, let your peace come unto it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, that is, the words of truth from the Scripture, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. You know, in other words, shake it off. Don't look back over your shoulder. And then there's the passage there about hell and Sodom and Gomorrah, a very real place. And the archaeologists have proven the evidence about that Sodom and Gomorrah, that they were Sodomites and into immorality in sexuality, as is the practice in unfortunately in a great portion of society, even in churches possibly. But you know, don't go looking for it. No, it'll come to you. Matthew 10:20, for it is not that you speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you, and the brother shall deliver up the brother in death, the father, the child, the children. And 22, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. And we're really blessed by the feast days. I want to share with that. But first of all, continuing our theme about the fruit and fearing Yahweh and warning one another, whether or not it's okay to do that. It's not, right? Well, no, we'll get the truth of whether or not we can warn people, whether it's okay, or will we go to hell for it, pretty soon here. John chapter 15, or Yochanan 15, verse 2, we referred to. John 15, every branch in me, that Messiah is speaking, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may be, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So we want to be purged by Yahweh. And in the fourth verse, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. He's speaking of himself, of the Messiah there. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. This is in Hebrews 12. And I went to E. Sword and quickly was able to look these up. Hebrews 12:11. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And then, of course, in Galatians, if you're a fruit picker like myself, Galatians 5:22, I'm looking for fruit in each other, but and in myself. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering and gentleness, goodness, faith, and then there was much more if you continued reading that in the book of Galatians. It also talks about the works of the flesh in that same chapter. So it seems like everybody wants to go to, nominal Christianity wants to go to Galatians 2 and 3 and do away with the law when they first got out of Berkeley and with their long hair back in the 60s, and then just turn to Galatians and do away with it all. Now, I'm free, I have grace. Let's just slide down into greasy grace, slide down the banister. Because Paul writes a balance of Scripture, and besides, you have to read that correctly anyway in Galatians 3 about the law. That is the law of temple sacrifices, not the Ten Commandments. Or it wouldn't make any sense to say that you're supposed to break the commandments, of course. What a fool. But I would not say that. I think I used to, though. Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is, says in the King James, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Well, there's an important word. And meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Messiahs have impaled the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. The end of that chapter. So there it is. I've heard a great Foursquare, what we thought was a great preacher, and he's preached this message. He says, come hear me talk about walking in the Spirit. But his moral life fell apart after that. But that was just him. That was just a certain case of human nature coming back. It's the old carnal nature. Maybe he's walking with a Savior right now. He has a little lilt in his step, and he does have the Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh. Maybe he's reading the Word and obeying it. Ephesians 5:9, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. Jude chapter 1, near the book of the Revelation. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds that are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withers, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. That's a parallel verse there in Jude 1, 12. It goes along with John 15. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and of course they're going to gather them up and toss them into the fire. Talking about souls, not about just a member of my, he's not going to toss my arm in there, or my eye, or my... Yes. So we have to walk right with the King. And then, of course, we've read in Ezekiel, so you may not have remembered this one, Ezekiel 3:21. In Ezekiel 3, verse 21. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, or if thou warn the righteous, that the righteous sin not, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. That's in Ezekiel 3. Then in the book of Maasa, or Acts, chapter 20. Acts 20:31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So it sounds like warning is a good thing to me, but it's sometimes it's just no use contending with a person who hasn't gotten this far, and you can give them all the scriptures and the facts in the world, and they'll say, "Hey, brother, you're judging me. You're confusing me with all these facts." Well, I guess so. 1 Corinthians 4:14. Paul said, "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you." So warning can be a loving thing. I've only seen a few times when the device of warning was used incorrectly in speaking of saved and unsaved people. I've had a few people, I guess, warn me about something that I hadn't done, and I never would. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, I think we read part of this, but it says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men." Now, of course, we have to deal with them individually and not be... too laid back and relaxed about it with some people. They need a harsher word. But just be careful about it. Then in Titus, so that's continuing to the right here in your New Testament, Titus 2:15, mainly he's speaking to different groups, people groups like the women, and then he speaks to the young men and so on. But he says, "These things speak and exhort," it could apply to all of us, "exhort and rebuke with all authority." Rebuke with all authority. "Let no man despise thee." No, they do despise us. for rebuking and exhorting and encouraging, but I can't help it. I can't help what they're doing. They're judging me for warning, you know, for the discernment ministry. So that's too bad. Hebrews 3:13 again, we read earlier in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And Jude 1:3, beloved, when I gave all diligence, let's see, we read Jude 12, so this is in verse 3 now, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Very famous verse in the book of Jude. Then we're going to go back to Matthew. I started out here talking about Messiah and his messages on fruit. So let's see if I can find that in yes, there it is. Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, because in the previous verse, he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees, which weren't altogether that bad. Paul was a Pharisee. And Sadducees come to his baptism, and he said unto them, generation of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Well, maybe nobody had. Bring forth, therefore, fruit, or fruits, meet for repentance, or worthy of repentance. Bring forth, therefore, fruit, or fruits, plural, worthy of repentance. Now, it doesn't mean, doing a whole bunch of inanimate good deeds. Now, that is also good, but when we talk about doing fruit, it refers to keeping the commandments, the statutes and the judgments, the precepts, all of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, as well as the Beatitudes. There, that's in the next chapter. No, excuse me, it's in the fifth chapter. But blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So I think most of us would fit into that category there, verse 6. We hunger and thirst after righteousness. It doesn't mean that we have arrived completely into righteousness, but I love that. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. How much do we see of that in today's evangelical church? Well, it depends on which one you go to. See a lot of it in Brother Paul Vigiano's church down there in Torrance, California. Even though he doesn't have the complete word yet, he's not totally teaching Torah, you know, the way we would understand it, and parallel and logically according to the Torah, the foundation of all truth. And the book of Psalms, chapter 19, 19th Psalm, the 119th Psalm, it definitely confirms that his commandments are good and righteous. And even if we look at the book of the Revelation, of course, I'd remind you of that in Revelation, that chapter 12, chapter 14, and I think it's the last chapter, no, somewhere. But anyway, keeping the commandments of Yahweh is loving him. 1 John 5, for this is love, that we keep the commandments of Yahweh. And the antonym of that would be sin, of not keeping his commandments. 1 John chapter 3. So, but sometimes we don't know the entirety of it. When we first come into keeping Yahweh's word and grow more and more, we may not have a teacher who knows all, at least who knows how to teach the keeping of these commandments. For example, the Sabbath day, he may not tell you how to be prepared for opposition in every way, how to gracefully work with your co-workers and employers or leaders at school and so on. They may not tell you that you keep it from sundown to sundown, the Sabbath day, not twilight to twilight, for the word even in the book of Exodus, chapter 12 and chapter, chapters about Passover, says from even to even. Then you look in that concordance and it says sunset to sunset, which is a little easier to define as to when the sun is actually set by watching that rather than twilight time, which is a vague instruction. But those who keep the Sabbath by the dusk principle there, the twilight principle, may do it with the right intention and all. Maybe they just don't know any better. And then as to the rest of the feast days found in the scriptures in Leviticus 23, Tabernacles and so on, also in Zechariah 14, Isaiah 66, Colossians 2, let no man judge you in eating or drinking or in partaking of the festival of keeping the feast days, new moon, Sabbaths, which are any shadow of things to come, but the body of Messiah will be the judge about these things, that those who know the truth of Yahweh's word. So in keeping the feast days, there's a lot of ignorance that we might at first be subject to our that'll be a handicap in order to keep these feast days. How do we do that? You know, where do we go? Well, I know very shortly we'll be going up into a nice little place in the mountains that is not going to cost us an arm and a leg. For you people who are renting anyway in your homes, what would it hurt you if you went out and rented a place to keep the feast days? You're still paying some money to stay on somebody's property if you don't own a home. We had not owned a home for many years, and we rented as well. So we rent for, what is it, $10 or $15 a night? And so for the whole feast, totals up to about, it's $150, I think, and then plus our food and gas to get there. We get there a day or so before to prepare. We don't have to do a lot because there's already the facilities are there. And if we just kind of just get in the car, slide up, and about an hour later we're there, we slide right into the feast and, kind of prepare things, lay things out, the messages. It's not really that difficult. We use basically the same text every year anyway. And so it's not a really big bondage even for the preacher to come up with this. So I wanted to let you know that that it can be done, and that Yahweh's Spirit will enable us anyway, even if there's quite a barrier to penetrate. We can still continue on with His help without even having kept the feasts in the past or anything. Just, your first time may be a little rough, but then you find out the next year how to put things a little bit more in order and have your tithes set aside for that, your $150 or so. And in American money anyway, that's what we do. And who to invite and who not to invite, perhaps, if they're going to cause a big problem and come in and try to tell everybody that it's unnecessary to keep the feast, that you guys are in a bunch of religious Jewish bondage. Well, what if it were, substitute the word Jewish, substitute another country in there. What if it was Swedish or Norwegian? No, it wouldn't make... So why, because it's Jewish, is that a big problem? No, not with me. In fact, we lift up in Jerusalem, we lift up our friends and brothers and hope they are able to keep a good feast, a Pesach or Passover, and that they're well prepared for that, and Yahweh will protect them during this very integral, paramount time, important time to keep the feast days is Passover. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:7 that we're to be unleavened. Yes, unleavened, and get the sin out of our lives. So the leaven that we find around in our places of dwelling and our homes and cars and so on. We vacuumed that out, maybe. He didn't have that vacuum cleaner, the Oric vacuum cleaner in those days, did he? But they just did the best they could. Some of it was all dead and everything, but it represented sin. It wasn't the physical that was of such importance. It was the actual spiritual message that went along with us from our hearts. Are we purging out the old leaven that we may be a new lump? No, that doesn't mean a new leavened lump. As you are unleavened, see, you are unleavened spiritually. You are a pure virgin before Messiah. You are, in Deuteronomy 22, you have your evidence, your tokens of virginity, of spiritual virginity, that you have not fornicated religiously with any other religion in the world that you know of. You haven't picked up their false doctrines, sun worship, etc. And then he continues, for even Messiah, our Passover, is offered for us. So that's why we don't have to do animal sacrifices. And some may not know that. Therefore, let us keep the feast. That was verse 8. Not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So you also see James 5 and Ezekiel 16:49. There's a lot of reference material, brother and sister. There's so much material available these days that there really isn't an alibi for neglecting such an important thing. You're probably wondering, how do I get out of having to work, because my employer expects me to work until he gives me a vacation, right? Well, maybe you've been there a couple of years, so you've earned some vacation time. But anyway, I tell them ahead, even when I'm going to be hired, I tell them that I'm going to be keeping the feast, and then usually they won't hire me. So maybe I should do it a different way. I don't know, but I don't want to lie to them or cover it up. But pray about it first, and then be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Correct? Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us here. And I expect we've gone a little bit over an hour on this. And I hope we're not missing anything for you, because there's so many important things to talk about. You don't get that out in the world, or even Christianity doesn't provide that for you. Some of our doctrines there that we really do need to concentrate on, because there's a neglect of that anywhere else. So I'm going to try to find that here on our website to get it. Well, here's a snapshot anyway of the covenant is first and foremost. You understand what the covenant is, so study about that. Study the feast days next. And about the name of Messiah. What about the name? What about Messiah's name? I have articles and sound snippets that are about an hour long or less. Frightened about everything, but knowing his name. Others are generating panic. And then we have to rest in Yahweh, in the cleft of the rock. He will cover us. We have to honor the Messiah. Honor Yahusha. That's an important subject. That was written in 2014. Messiah is to be praised. Hundreds have viewed that article, even evangelical preachers. And Messiah is to be praised for all he has done, not only creating this universe. And scriptures about Messiah is the second most important document I have, or sound file. Scriptures about Messiah. And then keeping the tabernacle, the Feast of Tabernacles, by heart was in there. And it mentions a lot about the name. When were the names Jesus and Jehovah, and why were they used? And then it was changed, and so on. And actually, there's a scripture I saw about that the other day. Then began men to call upon the name of Yahweh. So that should be one of the first places of mention in Scripture, Bereshit chapter 4, verse 26, when men first became to call upon Yahweh. and look that up in the lexicon, or the concordance, I should say, the Hebrew concordance. You'll find out that that is YHWH, Yahweh. And you know, if we take his name in vain, and we tell everybody that it isn't necessary to keep his correct name, that we could use a substitute, then we are lying and we're in sin. Hosea chapter, and then we'll move on with a kind of review of the website again. But he said there in chapter 3 of Hosea, in the so-called minor prophets, chapter 3:16, it shall be in that day, that saith Yahweh, that thou shalt call me Ishi, in other words, my man, and shall call me no more Bailey or master. For I will take away the names of Balaam, or master, out of her mouth, and also the Lord's, by the way, and they shall no more be remembered by that name, or by their name. And in that day I'll make a covenant with them, and so on. So this is marriage talk, talking about being betrothed, and then consummated and married with the bridegroom. We, the bride, will be joined with Yahweh forevermore. That's Hosea chapter 2. Did I say 3? I think I did, but anyway, chapter 2 there. Then we have a message called Yahusha I Am. Messiah I Am. And then it's time to obey Yahweh, and that has to do with Passover and also with the Paleo name. That's I'm very happy about that one, or joyful. That was produced about Passover time of 2017, I do believe. Then we have the files about Yahweh. Why the V in Yahweh? The beginning remarks. Yahweh's name and fighting it with some people, because they like to fight over anything. And also the Torah. And then the file that's also included in sometimes in most of these names articles, pagan words corrected. So you find that in written form as well as in MP3, as you know, in this podcast form. The Study of Separated Name by Bill Burton. He was arguing for, or demonstrating for, the W. What is the Father's name, V or W? And then here's a file called Yahweh Hey Dalet Hey. Yahweh in any language, you know, no matter what country you are, his name stays the same. Just like if my name is Stefan Yah and I go to Sweden, it's still Stefan Yah there. And another called Yahweh or Yahweh, which is a shorter version of the Y, the V, and Yahweh. Okay, so that has to do with the Father's name and the Son's name. We also have articles that explain the teachings about the new moons. We have a presentation on health hints, because I lost my wife, my first wife, Penny, to cancer. She didn't follow any of the rules, even though she knew them. She was a medical person. We have Joey Faust speaking about heavy metal detoxification. That's on sermon audio, actually. I don't have that available for you, I don't think. But Joy Faust, a preacher from Texas, on heavy metal detoxification. And then he has one called Physician and Little Foxes. Little Foxes Spoil the Vine, from the Book of Solomon. Mental Health Depression by, I think it's Brooke Lansbury, who spoke to us at Feast of Tabernacles. One called Name, Practical Law, and Health. Another, Psychotropic Drugs May Be Your Problem, without your even knowing about it. You might be taking something that was prescribed that maybe isn't good for you at all. Then again, you know, and we're not supposed to give medical advice, of course, because, you know, we haven't taken the oath. And then there's Spiritual Health, Yahweh, Yahweh, Spiritual Health, Sukkot, the Afterglow and Health. That's also a good file, by the way. A lot of good information from the year 2011. And then there's a memorial to Penny, and one called Victory Over Sickness. And we did have victory over it until we went backwards. There's all kinds of information on foods, although I'm not an exhaustive, complete authority on clean foods. What to watch out for, the clean and unclean. So that would be the most important, to avoid the abomination of foods. Isaiah 65, the book of the Revelation, Noah had the unclean on the ark, two by twos, and the clean by sevens, way before Moses. There's also articles about drugs for believers, So, yeah, we could go on and enumerate everything here. Did I say we have a teaching about the new moons? I think I did. Under the title of preaching, I have a full, complete one about, you know, ones about marriage. Fathers, love your children. Encouragement for one another. Being presumptuous, Proverbs 14 and 15. Who was on Yahweh's side was one of my messages. Are you saved or what? I think I was thinking of the president who became saved, and apparently right before he was elected. And I questioned whether or not he was or had been or has been baptized yet. That's an essential, Romans chapter 6. Then there's Romans 14 and Galatians. The need for salvation. Hired or blessed, it would be interesting. And salvation and the Jewish Messiah, the scriptural truth, which has been recut in 2017. I think you'll enjoy that one, about Yahweh, scriptural truth, and hope in the resurrection. Yahweh, not Yahweh, dot name. Is the website, and my email address is it's StephanYah at yavayahweh.name. So as we've gone through all the scriptures on the fruit of the Spirit, and we want to see all each other at the feasts and at the New Jerusalem very soon. Praise you, Yahweh. Thank you for what you've given us. And your blessings, the spiritual blessings especially. We know that, like some many of old, and in the faith chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, that some didn't get rich quick overnight just because they became a believer. They weren't, you know, they were never featured on Unshackled or the Full Gospel Businessman or Kenneth Copeland or some of these other, you know, where they just reach out and miracles are coming right and left. We don't have to walk in continual prosperity, financially anyway. We may be in poverty, we may be at least for sure very humble, and we thank thee for that I was provided, and that we would be in a humble attitude to evaluate our own spiritual estate of our souls and spirit before and learn the truth before we go sharing with anybody. We might blunder into a conversation and get trapped in there for too much ignorance. But once we lose our ignorance, we can never get it back again. And we thank you for that. Help us to continue to encourage one another and exhort and even warn one another and not feel guilty about doing it. Thank you. Praise you, Father, in Yahushua's name. May there be a real blessing, each and every one of your special people, your daughters and your sons. Praise you, Yahweh, in Yahushua's name. Praise you. You're listening to YahvehYahweh.name on the Internet.